In Play with Pragmatic, made possible by Horton in Britain, a worldwide supplier of engine cooling systems and proud member of the community for more than four decades. HortonWW.com. Welcome to another edition of In Play. I'm Craig Matic. High school softball in South Dakota, now entering its third year as a sanctioned sport. In fact, the number of high school softball teams continues to grow. You know, right now there are 17 schools in AA, 18 in Class A, 28 in Class B. Now today we're going to talk with two longtime coaches of softball in the state. Plus, we'll talk to a coach who played the game before high school, in college, and now coaching softball at her alma mater. Yeah, softball's been a big part of our guest's life for a long time, first as a player, even before high school. Played high school ball, then played college softball on the D1 level, and now coaching softball at her alma mater. You know, someone who is passionate about the sport of softball. The Brookings Bobcat, the SDSU Jackrabbit, and the head softball coach at Brookings, Emma Hardin. Emma, welcome to In Play.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Do you remember the first time you watched a softball game as a kid?
The first time I watched a game? I think the first time I remember watching was a Brookings Blast fast pitch game, and they were 18 and under, and that was, I remember the pitcher was Stacy Lamp at the time, and she's a Brookings girl, and I remember watching her pitch, and that's when I knew. I was like, oh, I want to be like her someday.
You know, what do you remember about playing softball as a kid? You know, you're just starting out playing the game. It was certainly before you played high school, but what do you remember about playing the game and learning the game?
Yeah. So my childhood, I played in Brookings until I was 11 years old. And then I knew I wanted something more. I knew that softball was kind of my thing. At the time, I just needed something more than what Brookings had to offer. And so I found the Renegades through the help of Bill Kratz. And he introduced me to the Renegades. And he was my coach in Brookings. So I found the Renegades as a 12 and under player, and really just fell in love with the style of play, the coaching, the competitiveness. So we played a lot of softball as a 12, 13, 14, all the way up until 18 and under. We played year round. We were always on the field in the summer. We actually had 8 to 10 hour practice days.
Oh.
As a 12-year-old, that's a long time.
Oh man.
And so, but we loved it. That was our thing. And there was nowhere else my Renegades team would rather be than on the softball field. And so every summer day we were out there in Sioux Falls.
Who influenced you to play softball?
My dad. My dad played baseball at South Dakota State. When they were still Division II. And so he was very passionate about baseball. He coached baseball and then played himself. And so he was like, you got to give this softball thing a try. And so he definitely was the one that influenced me to pick up a ball.
Well, did you play any other sports in high school?
Yeah. In Brookings, if you are an athlete, you do it all. I played volleyball in the fall, even though when I was in high school, there was softball in the fall. And I didn't play fall ball for the high school. I still played tournaments with my travel team, but I played volleyball in the fall. And then in the winter, I played basketball. And in the spring, I did track. And so I was a three-sport athlete in high school. And then as well as played softball year round. Mm-hmm. So we were always playing fall ball tournaments for travel teams. And then we were playing dome tournaments in the winter, and then we'd play some spring ball. And so I kept myself very busy.
What made the sport of softball so much fun for you?
The team. I think that being on a competitive team, made it so much fun. I had a family with my team, and I loved to compete. I still love to compete. That's why I'm coaching, because I'm such a competitor. I just thrive off adrenaline and trying to make a game plan and all aspects of the game. That's what I love.
Playing club softball, I mean, did you spend any time at home in the summer? It always seems all these teams, that's all you're doing is playing ball, which is great.
Yeah. A typical week for me in club softball, usually on Mondays, we'd either be traveling home from wherever we were on the weekend, or that was our off day on a Monday. And so no softball on a Monday. And then Tuesdays, we'd usually be practicing all day long, starting at 8 a.m. going until 3 or 4 in the afternoon. That was the same thing on Wednesdays and Thursdays. And then some Thursdays we'd be traveling to a tournament. Otherwise we'd be traveling to a tournament on a Friday and then playing Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And it was just on repeat every weekend. And then we'd go to those big tournaments in Colorado and California that would be a week long. And we'd just be playing games all week long against really, really great competition. So my summers were very busy.
How about a memory or two of some of those tournaments that you played? One that sticks out in your mind, where did you play?
One that really sticks out in my mind was, and I was actually just talking to the Roosevelt head coach about this memory, because he was coaching against us in the ASA state tournament. We were 14 and under, playing in the 18 and under state tournament, and we ended up winning the state tournament as 14U, playing at the 18U level. And so that's one that really sticks out in my mind. So we were middle schoolers competing against seniors in high school. So that was a big accomplishment for us in the South Dakota softball world. And then another one that really sticks out to me is, I think we were 16 and under. We were playing in the PGF National Championship. And so we ended up taking second place in the National Championship. And we were playing against the Beverly Bandits, who was another high-level travel softball team. And at the time, no one knew that South Dakota had softball when we were playing on that stage. And so it was really fun to make a name for ourselves and show them that South Dakota is on the map in the softball world. And so I think that South Dakota is just truly growing in the softball world. And now there is more of a name of teams in South Dakota.
One of those renegade teams that you were on, every one of you guys went on to play college softball. Was that the 14 and under team, or was that the other one that you're talking about?
There was a core group of us that stayed with each other all the way up and through. But the team that all of us went to play, that was our 18 and under team. Everyone was committed on that team.
Wow. Oh, boy. Yeah,
which was awesome. And what's crazy is that when we earned second place at the national championship, at the time we only had one commit. And so it was funny because we were playing against a team that everyone was committed to. Their pitcher was committed to Michigan. They had commits to Alabama and Oklahoma and all these big name schools, and we had one commit. And so they were just shocked that this team from South Dakota with one commit could make it this far in the national tournament.
You were a pitcher, right? You pitched?
Yep, I was.
So how much time did you spend perfecting all of your pitches?
A lot of time. I don't even know if I could put a time limit on that. Most of my travel ball career, I played center field. And then I got recruited as an outfielder, but they knew I could pitch, and I'm left-handed. And so that was a sales point for me too, that sure. I could pitch also. And so when I got to college, Coach Wood, was the previous head coach at South Dakota State. She had said that we needed more pitchers and I was going to be a pitcher only. And so I would still practice outfield. And I hit all the way through my college career. But I really focused just on pitching.
What was your best pitch? Which was the best one?
Curveball. A left-handed curve goes inside to a righty batter. And so they were not expecting that. They thought they were going to get hit.
After high school, you choose to play ball at home in Brookings at SDSU. Did you have any other feelers out there?
I did. I knew that I did not want to go too far away from home. It was kind of always my dream to be a Jackrabbit. And so I did go on a couple other visits here and there, but in the back of my mind, I kind of knew that South Dakota State was the place for me. I wanted to follow in my dad's footsteps. And my mom was a graduate from South Dakota State, as well as all of my grandparents. And so in the back of my mind, that was my dream.
You mentioned Krista Wood, your coach at SDSU. She was there the whole time you were there. What did she do to make you a better softball player?
She really bought into helping me increase my speed as well as my spin. It was crazy in high school. Although I was playing softball year round, I was also doing other sports. And so when I got to college and strictly focused on softball all the time, I felt like I got so much better because that was the only thing I had to do besides obviously academics. But I felt like she just really took the time to focus on the little things with my pitching, whether it was posture or grip on the ball or different types of pitches. She really took the time to care about those things with her players.
What do you remember the first time going inside the circle for your very first start as a Jackrabbit?
I was shaking.
Yeah. You made 14 appearances as a pitcher your freshman year. When did you feel comfortable as a pitcher that first year?
I think that knowing that there was a really good defense behind me, that helped settle the nerves. And knowing that Coach believed in me and wanted me to be successful, that was really helpful.
Yeah. Overall, what was your time like playing softball at SDSU?
I had a blast. I wouldn't change the memories, the accomplishments of all my team. I wouldn't change that for the world. I still talk to all my teammates and have great relationships with them. And they're going to last a lifetime. So it was an amazing experience.
So you're playing softball as a kid in Brookings, and you're playing in Brookings as a college student, and now you graduate in 20 and 22. And by golly, Brookings High School has an opening for a softball coach. And you're hired. What did they see in you, Emma?
I think that they saw that I got the game. I had played for so long. In my college career, I also, in the summertime, I would coach youth teams. And so, or I would give lessons and clinics and all the things. And so I think that they saw that I understood the game. I understood how to help players do the right thing in the right way and how to develop players. I was a little hesitant because I was so young, and I was worried that I'd be too close to their age, or they wouldn't accept my coaching strategies or different things because I was so young. Same thing with parents accepting me, not only the players, but they took a chance on me and they wanted me, and so I was really excited to get that job right out of college.
Where did your coaching philosophy come from?
All my past coaches. Coach Mook had the family concept and doing everything the right way the first time.
That was Mike.
Yep, Mike Mook, yep. And then as well as Coach Wood. I actually, this year with my team, we're reading the book, The Energy Bus. I stole that idea from Coach Wood because I felt like our team culture at SDSU was so strong, and I wanted to carry that on to my team that I'm now coaching. I felt like that was something that we needed more of, was culture and buying into each other.
That first year as softball coach at Brookings, it's also the first year of sanctioned softball here in South Dakota. And you take the Bobcats to the championship game up in Aberdeen against Lincoln. Did you know going into that season that you might have a pretty good team?
I did. I knew that the girls had played together their whole lives. And our pitcher at the time, Gracie Adamson, she threw hard. She could spin the ball. She had a positive attitude no matter what. And she was gritty. She wanted to win. And then we had great defense behind her. We had a couple young players that were sophomores. And then we had a couple standout seniors as well that were comfortable and had played together a long time.
Emma, what's the biggest difference in training for today's softball athletes compared to when you played?
When I played in high school, you're going with your club team all the time. It was only club team. And now these girls get to work with their club team all summer, all fall, all winter. And then come springtime in Brookings, where we have girls from the Outlaw program. We have girls from that play in Sioux Falls in the summer. And we all get to come together in the spring and work hard together. And so I think that's the biggest difference, is that we and these girls practice every day together. Whereas sometimes with travel ball teams, you only get in two practices a week and then you're playing weekend tournaments. Whereas the lucky thing with sanctioned softball is we get to play two times a week and practice 5 days a week, or if we don't have games that week. So they're together all the time. They're doing the same things every day, whereas in travel ball, they might not be practicing every day.
Couple of more for Emma Harden here on In Play, talking softball this week. What else keeps you busy besides being the softball coach at Brookings?
I'm a kindergarten teacher, and so that keeps me very busy. So I go from 8 to 4 teaching 5 and 6 year olds, and then 4 to 6, I'm coaching 16, 17, 18 year olds. And so, but my passion really is kindergarten as well as softball. So I do keep myself pretty busy with that.
Where do you see high school softball going in the future?
I think that we're just going to continue to grow and get better. I have already seen the growth in players, and there's a lot of kids that are committed to play at the next level, which was not as heard of when I was playing in high school. And so I think that that's really exciting, especially the kids that are staying local. This year I have 2 players that are staying local and going to be Jackrabbits. And then I have 1 player that's going to St. Cloud State, and then 1 that's going to Morningside. And so it's really fun to get to coach kids that are going to the next level too.
No matter what level. I mean, the opportunities are super for all these young ladies.
Yes.
Division II or NAIA, whatever level that they're at, opportunities for them, it's tremendous. And states outside of South Dakota know that we got some pretty good players in this state.
Yes, exactly.
Hey, let's go out to Burke, South Dakota, south central part of the state. It's between Winter and Platte. And Bill Beckers, a longtime softball coach. I mean, he also played the game. He coached a women's league team, even coached baseball. But Bill won 3 state softball championships as a coach, won 3 in a row with his daughter on the team, and by golly, he even has a field named after him. He's the Buzzard, Bill Beckers. Hey, Bill, welcome to In Play.
Well, thank you.
So where did the nickname the Buzzard come from?
Well, that goes way back to childhood. Me and some guy were arguing with each other, and he just called. He said, "You're nothing but buzzard bait." So for some reason, it stuck. I was buzzard bait for a long time, and then it got shortened down to Buzzard. Long time back. I think everybody in this country, that's all they know me by. Billy Buzzard Beckers.
Your ball playing days, though, were back in the 60s, weren't they?
Well, basically, yeah, 60s and 70s, 70s for sure. All through there, we had a Burke Buzzards fast pitch men's team that played a lot of ball. We'd go to tournaments every weekend and probably played 100 games a year or more in fast pitch, and it was really fun.
So how did you get involved with coaching softball?
Well, it's just like all this stuff goes, it's something that nobody wants to do it, and somebody will just have to step up and do it. And I just love the game. To this day, it's still my favorite game of all. So I just took it upon myself to start coaching. And one league thing led to another, like from men's to women's to co-ed to slow pitch. And then basically ended up with the girls' fast pitch teams. And then I coached that for years. We won 3 straight in 04, 05, and 06 state tournaments. And in 2000, we won one more. So we won 4. That would have been an 18 and under division in Junior Olympic summer fast pitch state tournaments. And they're always in Sioux Falls.
Those 3 state straight championships you won, your daughter, Billy Joe, was on the team. Of course, we know Billy as the head volleyball coach at Burke, but what was it like coaching your daughter with those 3 straight championships?
That's probably one of the main reasons I was doing it. I always remember one day before I got too involved with it, she always wanted me to come out and watch her pitch. And I said, well, I didn't think there's any way she could pitch fast pitch. So she drugged me off the couch and got out there, and she started throwing to me. I said, oh, my God, I think we got something here. So then I took big interest in it, and she pitched, like I said, those 3 years in a row we won it. She pitched every pitch in the state tournament, and like the first year we went over there, we lost the first game, and coming back through the loser's bracket is something else. And it was about 100 degrees all the time, and I think on that Sunday we played 5 or 6 games coming all the way back to win it. So I had wet towels thrown over her every time she'd come in. And it was something. I said, they're going to throw you till your arm falls off. And pretty much did. You got pretty slow there towards the end. But it worked, and we got it.
What was softball like in South Central South Dakota back in the 70s, even going into the 80s?
Well, in those days, it was just huge. You were talking about exposing. Now, it was just huge out here. We had teams of every kind there. Every little town here had a team or two. Some of them had two, like Fairfax, Bonesteel, Herrick, Burke, Gregory, Clearfield, if you know where that's at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do.
And Colom had teams, Winter. It was just huge. And it was kind of the time before cell phones and other things that they have to do now. They didn't have to go to all these camps and stuff in those days every summer for basketball and volleyball. All the girls were just into it hugely.
Who were some of the teams that were the rivals for Burke when you were coaching?
Well, naturally, there was 2 teams in Burke, and the 2 Burke teams would be the rivalries of all. But then Gregory's really close. And basically, in our league, there was about 10 teams up and down the line, and they were all really good, and they all worked at it, had plenty of players, and it was all really, really rivalry with every one of them.
So what were the summers like? Because it sounds like, you know, tournaments virtually every weekend and travel. You know, how busy was your summer?
it was busy. It just took up all my time. I always said I wish then I would have had a cell phone like we do now. All we had was a home phone. Everything was long distance, and when you'd call, nobody was home. But it was really, really busy all the time. We'd play at least two games a week in league play. So then I'd be doing the men's and the women's and all these girls, coaching baseball long line. I coached most of like teeners and Legion and town team baseball for a few years too, but my love was the softball.
What was the training like? What did you do to train to make those girls better softball players?
Well, basically just had a lot of practice, and I never had any trouble getting them out there. We'd work two or three nights a week with a practice, and when I'd get done, there'd be three or four girls or more always come up after practice, and they'd want more grounders and more flies. So in them days, they were really, really into it, and that's why we were so good. They wanted to play.
Of those girls you coached, did a number of them get a chance to go play college softball down the road?
Oh, yes. There were several of them did. Billy Joe did, and Lanille Lamley went over and played. The Stalka girls did. There were several of them played college ball out here.
Any of those coaching softball today?
Not really much anymore. You know, I hate to say it, but out here in the West River, and softball is kind of dying out on us. There's just too much other things going on. And it breaks my heart to see that. We still have a huge, smaller, younger, they have 8, 10, and 12-year-old girls, and they have a lot of those.
Yeah, your daughter, Billy Jo, played, but she chose to coach volleyball right now and doing a pretty good job, isn't she?
She really is.
So you coached your daughter, and you've also coached your granddaughters. How did that feel the first time that you were coaching the granddaughters in softball?
Well, that was fun and exciting. It made me really proud. Addison Indel and Taylor, your older sister, they were really, really good volleyball players. Addison just loved the game. They were both good pitchers and just do it all. And that kept me into it more than anything, probably.
What have you seen as the biggest improvement in the game of softball over the past 20 years?
Well, I suppose just having more and more tournaments and things like this. I really like the idea that they've got high school going, and that's probably only been in about the last 5 years, but I just love to see they made that a high school sport now, and I would give anything if they'd had it back in the day when we were so good because our girls wanted to play so bad. That's one of the biggest things that they do. It's just a sport that everybody can do, and girls love it.
You didn't have to recruit very many players. There was a lot of interest in the game back when you were coaching at Burke.
Oh, yes, there was. We had, we had Billy Joe and Heidi Frank. There was Megan Dryan and Taylor Indel. It's like, it's hard to say to name them that far back like that. There was a lot of them. Jenna Dre was great. She went on to play college softball up in Aberdeen, was really good. Abby DeWolf. Billy Joe played fast pitch, and she pitched up in Madison, South Dakota, at the college there, and she was the pitcher and most valuable player of the year that she was nominated afterwards. They weren't real successful with it, but she pitched, and I went up and helped them coach a little bit because they were shorthanded, and that was fun, too.
About 6 or 7 years ago, you got surprised by having a field named after you. What happened?
Well, that was a big surprise. I was out coaching then that night, and I was running around getting the field ready for the second game, and this was all going on, and I didn't really realize what was happening until finally somebody dragged me out there, and that was really an honor. Actually, I built that field way back in the early 70s myself because we needed another field, but It was quite an honor to do that, and I was really, really surprised. They did a good thing with it.
You know, softball is seeing growth around the state. Bill, but you know, is there a chance for growth of softball in South Central South Dakota?
Well, I think there probably will be, being they finally got this state stuff going with the schools. Winter does have one team. That's about the only team out here that has it. Club team or a school team, whatever you want to call it. And I'm thinking that it's going to, I'm hoping all these young people in Burke that we have, the 8, 10, and 12s, they got so many of them, that they'll keep an interest in that. That's what we're all hoping, and they'll just come up and keep going instead of dropping off like they have been here.
Well, you're 81, Bill. How long did you play softball?
I played until I was into my 60s. I just actually played until they just didn't have any more left out here. I could still pitch good at 60. Believe it or not, I could still throw hard at 60 years old.
I bet you could do it still today, Bill.
I think I could. I might pay the price for it. But.
Dale Getchess has been involved with softball for many years. He's been involved with the South Dakota Renegades, a club softball team, for a lot of years. Dale, welcome to In Play. When did you first get involved with the Renegades?
Well, we started kind of coming up with the idea of the Renegades in 2011. We had several people in Sioux Falls that we knew that we were doing lessons with Michael Mook at Augustana. At that time, we approached him and asked it what his interest was. You know, originally, the Minnesota Renegades were up and running in Minneapolis, and he was involved with that briefly, and just saw that it was a quality organization, and we really wanted to model something like that in Sioux Falls. So myself and a few other dads got together and talked about it, and it was kind of started that way.
I think you had a daughter involved with softball. Is that when Dad stepped up to help coach?
Yeah, exactly.
I know a lot of dads who become softball coaches because they have a daughter who wants to play the sport.
Right, yeah. You know, a lot of dads, you know, when their kids are 9, 10, 11 years old, you know, kind of volunteer and get involved. And, you know, I grew up playing softball, slow pitch softball, so I obviously understood the game a little bit. The fast pitch was a little bit new to me, but it was intriguing. It's a fun sport. It's a fast sport. So it was easy to kind of move right into that.
What was softball like here in South Dakota, you know, back, you know, 25 years ago?
You know, I think the big thing that, you know, from a club program perspective, there really wasn't a lot of opportunity. There were a couple of main clubs in Sioux Falls. You had the South Dakota Fusion, you had the Diamonds, were the two predominant larger clubs and a little bit more organized and structured. Then you also had the Dirt Devils out of Brandon that kind of had some good things going. So, you know, it was not a lot of options. And when we looked at that, we wanted to bring a higher quality. And when we were working with Coach Mook, you know, he was an excellent trainer and had a vision as well. Really wanted to improve the opportunities for girls in Sioux Falls.
What hooked you into the game?
You know, I think just, you know, for me, it was, you know, being involved with my daughter, watching her learn and have a desire to play. You know, and also, you know, when we started this program, the people that were involved, some of the other parents, were great people and fun to be around, and all were very passionate and wanted their daughters to be successful. So that was really what helped kind of move our direction. You know, everybody was on board, and it was just really easy to get started.
Well, it becomes a family atmosphere too amongst all the parents and the coaches and the players, no doubt.
Oh, absolutely. That helps.
You know, the Renegades, they have had success in tournaments on the state, on the region, on the national level. You know, what kind of memories stand out on some of those teams over years past with that success?
You know, I think a lot of it, you know, as we started the program And the team stuck together. The kind of one of the key parts when we started this team is everybody stayed on board, and you know, year after year, you know, the girls just kept getting better. And so we had to kind of search for more competition. And, you know, our goal was always to play, you know, at a high level. And, you know, it wasn't uncommon for us to go to Chicago, Crown Point, Indiana. We were in Oklahoma City. So we kind of moved to some of those bigger tournaments. And then we're fortunate that we would qualify and end up at Huntington Beach, California. So, you know, we're lucky to play a lot of the great teams in the nation. Probably what stands out the most, the one year we did get selected to play the women's junior national fast pitch team down in Oklahoma City. So we played on the same fields that the College World Series is played on.
Nice,
so
nice.
That was a wonderful experience. And that followed up a prior year of getting second place in the national tournament. So, you know, we had a great run for a couple of years, and that was a lot of fun.
Was that like 2013 or 14?
That would have been in the 2016-17.
Okay. I know a few years before that, the Renegades wound up having 13 players on the roster who went on to play softball at the collegiate level. In fact, I think your daughter was one of those players.
Yeah, she was one. You know, our first team, all 15, we picked up a couple girls at the end. All 15 of those players went on to play college softball.
That's, you know,
awesome. Several at Division I level, and and so that was exciting. You know, year to date, with the Renegades, we put almost 50 kids into college opportunities.
Like your daughter played at Northern Illinois, right? I think.
Yeah, she played in Northern Illinois, and then COVID happened, and ended up transferring to North Dakota State and finished her last 2 years at NDSU.
Of course, we've talked to Emma Harden from Brookings, the coach up there. She was on that team as well. What do you remember about the way Emma played the game?
You know, Emma was just a kid that always smiled and always worked hard. Was, you know, at that time she pitched for us when she went into college. She pitched a little bit and was primarily more outfield, but, you know, it's just a great batter, just a fun person to be around, and it was a hard worker.
But how great is it when you coach a young athlete, no matter what sport is in, you know, and they wind up going to college with it, and then they're taking that skills and being a coach in the game. How great is that?
Well, it's fun. You know, I think a lot of our philosophy was we always wanted to try to give back. And when we had our Renegades team, especially Emma's team, we did a lot of small town clinics. You know, we did some in Alexandria, Minnesota. We did some in Beersford. We did a few in Sioux Falls, and really just wanted to get younger kids involved and kind of get that fire lit for them to play. And it was one of those things that when you're teaching a game, you're learning more about it as well. So it kind of reinforces what you're doing.
South Dakota softball has been sanctioned now. We're in our third year in South Dakota. The number of teams have exploded since being sanctioned. But Dale, I'm kind of curious, how much did the high schools have to work with club softball teams, or maybe even vice versa, on accommodating a high school sanctioned softball season and then have a club softball season in the same year?
Sure. You know, I don't know if there was a whole lot of work, at least from my direction. I think, you know, prior to that, when that was still a club sport at the high school level, you know, it was in the fall, so it wasn't as convenient for the players, because a lot of those players were doing other sports. And then also for competitive softball, there's a lot of college recruitment opportunities and tournaments back then. But now that it's been a sanctioned sport, you know, it's started to pick up some momentum and grow. And so it's good to see, you know, girls today have that opportunity to represent their school. And a lot of these girls sometimes are on the same travel ball team.
It's true. Yeah.
And then also, you know, to play competitively against each other. You know, they build a lot more friendships that way too.
Of course, a big plus, I think, on the club side, you know, these girls are getting, you know, 15 to 20 games in before the club season starts. So, you know, they're ready to go once the club season's underway.
Yeah, you know, that's probably one of the advantages is, you know, girls are playing, you know, unfortunately, sometimes you maybe run into an injury or overuse with some pitching, but I think the big thing is, you know, keeping the girls active and they're ready to go once they, you know, literally after that state softball tournament, most of those teams start playing the weekend after.
How would you describe the talent level of softball here in South Dakota and comparing it to our neighboring states?
You know, I think it's improving and growing. You know, there's been some great softball players that have come out of this area, in this region the last, you know, probably 6-7 years. So I think things have improved, and there's more and more opportunities. You know, equipment gets better, training gets better. So, you know, I think things are improving. You know, there's opportunities. Regionally, you know, kids that are in the South typically have a lot longer opportunity to play outside, you know, and the Midwest and the South Dakota especially, you know, you're limited sometimes by winters and there just isn't a lot of good options locally for indoor practices and play. You know, many times we would travel up to Minneapolis because they have 7 different domes up there and host some indoor tournaments. So there's those options there.
Has there been any girls who have played for Team USA in softball or even getting a chance to be on an Olympic team? Have we gotten there yet?
We haven't had any. We've had a couple players pretty close. We have had, we did have one Renegade that played in the College World Series. Allie Lindner played for Minnesota in 2019 when they made their World Series appearance. We do have a couple of former Renegades that are in the college playoffs right now. Abby Duscher, which is out of Kindred, North Dakota. She plays for Alabama. She was a Renegade for several years. And so she'll be playing too this weekend.
I'm assuming we're seeing more girls playing club and high school softball who are getting a better chance today to play softball in college. Would that be true?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, when you look at all the opportunities that high school kids have, softball, I think if girls apply themselves to work hard, you know, I think there's just as much opportunity to get a college scholarship, in that sport as other sports. You know, you get a larger roster. So they're, you know, schools are typically, you know, they're most college teams are, have 20 to 24 girls on a team. And so there's more opportunities, I think, from the softball world.
Being involved with softball, what does that do for the student athlete? What kind of a person does it make him when they're involved in softball?
Sure. You know, I think at least from my experience, it makes a disciplined person, you know, a lot of collegiate sports, they require a lot of these girls, you know, the work that it takes to get to that college level. And then it gets moved to even a higher level of, you know, doing their workouts. A lot of it's time management. So, you know, being a student athlete certainly, I think really pushes the girls to be much more organized, better time managers, you know, looking at the girls we've had in our program that have been through college, a lot of them are getting great degrees, whether it's in the healthcare system, accounting, business, teaching. They're very well-rounded people and good time managers.
One thing I really like about the game, and it's the defensive side, where the situations, you know, runners at first and second, one out, where are you going to go if it's hit to you? And that is instilled in every single player out there on the field. And for the most part, I love the defensive effort of all these teams.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. You know, it's a very defensive game, and it's a fast-paced game. You know, you really need to kind of be on your toes, know where you're going to go if you get the ball. You know, every situation is a little bit different, and certainly the field, the ground will find you if you're not ready. You know, you'll have a bad hop, but you know, certainly I think the big thing is just it's a mental game. You got to be thinking all the time, and knowing what you're doing.
Last one for you, Dale. When it comes to watching high school softball in South Dakota, you know, you're on the club side, though. What do you like? What do you see happening with high school softball in South Dakota?
You know, I like to see the growth of it. You know, it's giving the opportunities to the players. Certainly, you know, it's a passionate game, and the kids that want to represent their school and teammates and different things. Certainly, it's providing more opportunities for those girls, and that's probably the biggest thing.
In Play with Craig Maddock is made possible by Horton in Britain, where smiling at work happens all the time. Apply now at HortonWW.com. If you like what you're hearing, please give us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast. It helps us gain new listeners. This has been In Play with me, Craig Maddock. This is a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.